Welcome back, everyone, to, I think, arguably, what is going to be our favourite ever episode. I don't think it needs to be said why, but obviously it's because Lewis Hamilton cemented himself as the greatest ever driver, the first ever driver to win a race who has participated in like over 300 races, the first man to ever win at a circuit 9 times. That is impressive, right?
Especially your home Grand Prix.
It's his home Grand Prix. Yeah. That win was on merit. Now, don't get me wrong. McLaren made mistakes. They threw that win away. But Lewis's driving was flawless. And Lando Norris, when he was chasing him on the softs, had the better car. There was every opportunity there. If Lewis was in that McLaren and Lando was in the Merc, Lewis still would have won that race.
Tyre management was key. And Lewis... I don't care what anyone says, is the key of tyre management.
Now, we will obviously talk about Silverstone and talk about how impeccable this win was and how needed it was and how emotional it was for him. But I want to talk about one thing.
Yep. Where have you been?
You laugh at me quite a lot when we do these predictions.
Yeah.
Right? Because for Austria, I predicted Lewis to win the race.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I wasn't far off. George won the race.
Well...
Now, we haven't been here for the last 2 weeks. They're two different
people. Yep.
So, apologies. We haven't discussed this. But if you remember the last episode, I said, I think Lewis is going to win Austria. Now, granted, Lewis didn't.
So, you were wrong.
But a Mercedes did, right?
Yeah. Okay, so All right. I know where you're going to go with this. Okay.
No. You actually don't know where I'm going to go.
Okay, fine.
You've called me mental many times, right? Now, I actually took it a step further this week. I've had many confidences, is that what you say, in Lewis Hamilton across the years, where he hasn't been winning. And yep, we've had to do predictions. And I've said, I think Lewis is going to finish here. And it doesn't happen. We obviously didn't do a prediction for Silverstone. Because I was on holiday and I was away. But proof that my doubt never wavered in this man. Okay? I want you to look at this. And tell the viewers what you're looking at.
Okay, so... you put a bet on off £5.
£10.
Oh, no, £10 for Lewis to win outright. So you won £50.
I believed in him so much that I was willing to part with my hard-earned cash.
Yeah.
Despite the fact he hasn't won a race since Saudi Arabia 2001.
2001?
2021. That would have been a long time.
He wasn't even in the sport.
I think that goes to show just how much belief I have in that man. And all these times you laugh at me.
But...
I was not taking the piss.
But, on the other hand, you can understand why sometimes I laugh. Because over the years, it's been 2 and a bit years now since Lewis Hamilton has won. You have said, like last year, I'm confident Mercedes telling me that they've got upgrades coming.
But they weren't telling me.
Okay, well, they would tell it.
That would be nice to have that connection. But.
Hey, Luke, just so you know, we've got a new rear wing coming next week.
If that ever happens, I will tell you.
Yeah. We were being told upgrades were coming.
Mm-hmm.
You got on the... and rightly so, me too, at the beginning. I was very much like, okay, this is exciting.
No, these are two different things. I lost faith in Mercedes.
I never lost faith in Lewis Hamilton. I lost faith in Mercedes, which, when the car is so bad, the chances of Lewis winning is very slim because the car is so bad. Austria, okay. I completely get what you say about, you didn't say Lewis, but George won. Well, George won for... unforeseen circumstances. Granted, anyone can win like that in a race, and it happens, you know.
Win's a win.
It is. But realistically, Max or Lando should have won that race in Austria, okay? Heading into the British Grand Prix, and I actually got on the hype train for this because it's something about Silverstone. Lewis Hamilton has been on the podium there 18 times or something like that, something mental.
Did you put your money where your mouth was?
I put him in my fantasy team. So that's a no, but that's a big thing, because that's the first time I've added him into my fantasy team since we started. So yes, I did back him, and I was confident he was going to come through. Just touching on what you said earlier with regards to, you know, the episodes, this is one of my this is going to be one of my favorite episodes to talk about. And it is mad to say we have been doing this now since the beginning of 2022, and we have never spoken about a Lewis Hamilton win.
Yeah, we've never had this opportunity,
which is mad. If you said to me at the beginning of 2022 season, it is going to take you roughly about 2 and a bit years before you actually talk about a Lewis Hamilton win, I'd go, nah, that's just, it's not going to happen.
I don't think anyone ever predicted it. I mean, he had never gone a season without winning at least one race in his whole career.
Yeah.
Up until 2022.
I think what this weekend really highlighted is how, like, I've seen tweets and I've seen a lot of posts from different people who, during that 21 season, were like diehard Max fans, or even Red Bull fans were going, you know, obviously you had that rivalry. But I've even seen tweets from people who are diehard Red Bull fans, even going, oh, do you know what? That was really good to see Lewis Hamilton win.
But do you know what it is? It's because I think over this period of where Lewis hasn't been dominating,
yeah,
people have acknowledged genuinely how good Max is. Now, we were never critical of his racing ability, even from the 2021 era. Yeah. We just feel he had some raceability issues, in that he was impossible to race, tried to kill Lewis Hamilton. And, you know, we saw some of this creep in Austria, where, whether you think Lando could have moved off the track or not, it doesn't matter. Like, Max was moving under braking. There was some dangerous driving. The stewards admitted this week that they were wrong to not give him the black and white flag.
Yep.
It's not up for discussion. What also isn't up for discussion is how good Max is. You know, at this point in time, he is the greatest driver on the grid.
And may I just add, he even showed that again this weekend. That Red Bull car should have not even been on that podium.
We should also say credit to the strategy team. They nailed everything. But
spot on.
But it's props to that whole team.
But Max got into that position to be able to chase for a P2, which realistically should never have been on.
So now I think what Max fans are also seeing with Lewis winning this weekend is that Lewis, like Max, doesn't actually need the best car to win. No. They will be quicker. Everyone knows. You don't have to be a whiz kid to see that Lando Norris has the best car on the grid. Oscar Piastri too, but Lando looks a little bit quicker than him, predominantly. Yeah, still, he's only won in Miami, where I know I just said a win is a win, and a win is a win, but I'm talking about his ability to consistently win. That win was given to him on, you know, the basis that a safety car came out and favoured him. I'm not taking anything away from him. He deserved that win. He was the quickest man on track. But it is now where you see both sets of fans are coming together over the fact of where they look at Lando and they think, well, yeah, actually, Lewis and Max would absolutely dominate in that car. And it's kind of that real recognises real moment.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see the two fan bases come together. I think, you know, after 2021, there probably was a lack of respect on both sides.
Which, rightly so.
It's a rivalry, right, do you know what I mean? But
and I don't regret that at all. I think that made that season. That was such a good season.
I've arguably never hated a sportsman more than Max Verstappen that season.
And I don't think we'll ever get that again like that.
No, I'm not. I would be surprised if we ever see two people as good as those two drivers come head-to-head in cars that are equally as competitive. You know, I said before, I think the Red Bull did have the edge for most of the season, but then the Mercedes came back, and I think all of that season was down to driver ability.
We are in an era now, and as F1 fans, we've got to enjoy this, because
this season's actually heating up, you know.
It is. But I mean, what I mean by this is we have two of arguably some of the greatest F1 drivers we have on this grid at the moment. I mean, in 2 or 3 years' time,
we have Lewis Hamilton, who is the greatest of all time. That's not up for debate. Max Verstappen, who is easy top five.
Yeah, but what I mean by that, in a few years' time, we won't have Lewis Hamilton.
No.
A few years after that, we won't have Max Verstappen.
Well, I mean, Max is still very young. I mean, if Max goes to the age that Lewis has gone, we've still got like another 15 years of Max.
I don't think he's interested, though. You listen to his interviews, and the way he is, he's very much kind of like...
Is he just playing it cool, though?
I don't know. I think he's someone who actually, he'll enjoy it to a point, and he'll be like, do you know what? Actually, I've achieved everything I want. I'm going to try something different.
But are you telling me that Max Verstappen doesn't want to be the greatest driver of all time?
Probably does.
Because he probably knows Max has every chance at his age to go on and break Lewis's records, and it's going to be incredibly difficult to argue that he's not the greatest of all time, given that I've argued that Lewis is the greatest of all time because he possesses all these records. If Max goes on and breaks them, maybe he wins 8 world championships. He has the most wins.
Well, he'll be tying with Lewis then, won't he?
Yeah, he would be. That's a fair point. Maybe he wins 9. Then it's going to be very hard to dispute that he's not the greatest of all time. Now, what you've got to remember is that Lewis's period of domination didn't start until he was probably a bit older than Max is now. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, slightly older.
Obviously, 2014. Lewis came into the sport in 2007, but he was older than Max when he came into the sport. Mm. So Max has got every chance to stay on and go and, I mean, in theory, demolish these records.
Oh, 100%.
And I just think, why wouldn't he want to do that?
And I personally think, once Lewis goes, there's no one who's going to be better than Max Verstappen on that grid.
Well, yeah, because Ferrari have broken Charles Leclerc.
I don't know what they've done to him.
I think he sold his soul to the devil to win that Monaco race.
Well, something's definitely happened. They need the summer break quick.
Because it's all downhill.
Can I just touch on something which you said earlier about Lewis, about Lando Norris, okay, about having the best car? So interestingly, in 2020, I don't know if you've seen this, Lando Norris, after Lewis Hamilton broke all the all-time F1 wind record in 2020, he said, it doesn't mean anything really. Lewis is in a car which should win every race and only has to beat one or two other drivers. Interestingly, Lando Norris at this moment in time now probably has the best car on the grid.
And he still can't beat pretty much one driver.
And he only has one win. This, I still stand by this statement that, granted, he's got a race win. Fantastic. Great for him. I do not believe...
He should have 3 now, by the way.
100%. I do not believe he will win a world championship. And I still stand by that. I still stand by it. Because let's analyse, just for example, this weekend, okay? He raced well. He didn't manage his soft tyres after he was being chased by Max Verstappen. Him and his strategy team... It's not just Lando on this
planet. No, the
McLaren team screwed him as well.
Because they ruined Piastri's race.
Yep. Lando Norris should be winning these races. And can I go back to Austria? Because we haven't discussed this, okay? And I know...
But we won't talk about it too much.
No, I just want to talk...
We've got to move on.
I just want to talk about that instant. Mm-hmm. And this is because I know you...
Please don't sit here and blame Lando for this.
Because
you did do that in the group chat.
No, but I want you to hear out what I'm generally saying, okay? That instant in Austria between Lando and Max, Lando had been coming over the radio 2 to 3 laps before that instant going. In that corner, Max is weaving, he's coming closer, he's getting too close, all of this stuff. He's saying, actually, this is dangerous. He's weaving too much, moving too much.
But I think he was saying that so he would get black and white flak.
I agree.
They have to say these things on the radio.
No, I completely understand that. But if you're a driver who is currently P2, who has that fastest car on the grid, who realistically should be overtaking that Red Bull...
Yeah, but not if he's driving like that.
No, but listen to what I'm saying. The reason why I wasn't saying Lando was in the wrong, what I'm saying is actually, you've got to play a bit smart. This is what Lewis did in the 21 season. He wouldn't put his car in positions that was likely to go have a collision. I know he had collisions with Max.
No, but he did. I mean, you look at Brazil.
Yeah.
He just got run wide.
Yeah.
I mean, the collision was such a tiny tap.
Mm.
And obviously it happened to give both of them a puncture. I don't think we can say, oh, Lando should have raced smarter because Max was driving like a terrorist.
No, but I think Lando, I still stand by this fact that he should have played it smarter by
How does he play it smarter? Because
keeping that line, keeping a nice line into that first corner, getting a good exit, you've got DRS.
But how can he keep a good line through that corner when he's side by side with Max?
No, but that's what I mean. He shouldn't have had to be side by side.
So you want him to back off the accelerator, throttle, and then
Max would have
coast into the corner behind Max.
Max would have probably shot it wide anyway.
You think Max now makes an error?
Well,
I mean, now you're banking on someone else, whereas Lando had every right to be there.
He had every right to be there, but you're going against someone who is all, and you've already verbally said, is racing too dangerous into this corner. So why would you put your car in a position where...
he should just finish second then?
No, but he would have won that race.
How?
You've still got DRS down the main straight, and you've still got DRS down to turn three.
Turn four, sorry. But we've already established that he can't get past him there. He had tried, and he had DRS a number of times, and it wasn't working.
But he still had 12 laps to go. Why are you chucking yourself into those positions where... Look, I'm not saying Lando was in the wrong. I'm just saying he could have prevented that, because if you know that someone is being dangerous, why put your car there?
Yeah, but that's such a bad analogy. That's like...
No.
Max's driving standards shouldn't prevent... or shouldn't have to prevent someone from making an overtake on him.
No, but I
okay. And you're assuming that he was able to overtake him elsewhere on the track, but I want to see proof as to where this is going to happen, because he had been close out of turn three.
Yeah.
Coming down with the DRS. It wasn't happening. He couldn't get him out of the last corner down the pit straight. And the only time he could get close enough was coming up out of turn two and three.
Mm.
So I just think it's a bit harsh to say, oh, well, he should have been smarter and overtaken him elsewhere. Because it's a lot easier said than done, isn't it?
No, but it is. But you're banking everything just on that one straight. You've still got the rest of the track.
Yeah, but you haven't really got the rest of it. It's not like he wasn't overtaking a Williams. He was taking Max Verstappen in a Red Bull.
But who had the fastest car?
Yeah, you say fastest car. He wasn't like 100 miles an hour quicker than
him. No, but who on the straights, who had the fastest car?
On the straights? McLaren. On the straights, I actually don't know.
McLaren?
Well, factually?
Yes, I've seen the data. They had the fastest car.
But how much?
200 miles.
What was it, like one car?
No, I don't know. Look, I'm not sitting here and going, no, Lando did anything
wrong. Yeah, you're acting as if Lando was trying to overtake Logan Sargeant in a Williams. He could have overtaken at different points, but the cars were very closely matched around there.
I just think
the McLaren was quicker.
I just think he had 12 laps to go.
But he didn't crash. Max crashed into him.
Yes. You know,
it's great sitting there with the ability of hindsight, isn't it? But he didn't have that at the time. He was trying to make his move.
Look,
his tyres were going to fall off. The longer he was behind Max, the more stress it was putting on the tyre.
You're not going to understand what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to...
I'd like to know if anyone is understanding.
I'm just trying to say...
We'll clip this and it's going on TikTok.
Are you going to do the edit?
No, you will, but...
No, I'm not doing my edit on my own.
Because you're worried that you're going to get cooked.
No. I know, I'm not worried, because at the end of the day, it's my opinion. So whether you agree with my opinion or not, it doesn't matter. I'm only looking at it from...
We can talk about smarter choices, right? Lando sending it up the inside, you know, when he locked up and went off.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's a poor choice. I don't think the collision was down to Lando's poor decision-making.
No.
I think it was down to...
Like I said, I'm not blaming Lando for the collision. I'm just saying...
Yeah, but you're blaming him for his car being there.
Well, no, because I'm saying he...
That's like if you crashed into a parked car and you've been like, oh, you could have parked in the other bay, mate, then I wouldn't have hit it.
No, you're completely missing my point. But anyway, let's move on from it, because you're not going to agree with me. I still stand by what I know. I get your point. I just think for Lando, he was in a P2. He had 18 points at that point. He was in a good position.
Okay, so in Saudi,
yeah,
2021,
yeah.
If Max Verstappen wipes Lewis Hamilton out when he goes to overtake him into turn one, you're saying Lewis should be racing smarter.
On which bit are you talking about?
Turn one.
Oh, turn one,
where,
yeah.
Where a couple of times Max almost murdered him.
Lewis was ahead. Are we talking about, which one are you talking about? The one before the red flag or the restart? Which one are you talking about into turn one? Because there was a couple of times.
When Lewis went to overtake him and they came into turn one and they both went off, Lewis should have raced smarter. If they had crashed, Lewis should have raced smarter. Because he knew Max was going to do that.
But you're missing the Lando
agenda.
No, you're not. Yeah. But you're missing my point.
You've got a Lando agenda, not me.
No, I haven't. You're missing my point. Is comparing Lando and Lewis is completely different.
I'm not comparing them. I'm comparing the incidents that happen.
There was many incidents throughout that year. So... No,
and I'm saying specifically Saudi.
Yeah.
Where they went into turn one. Lewis ran off. Max ran off. If Max had hit Lewis then, based on your logic, Lewis should have raced smarter because he knew Max was going to do that.
Well, no, because he hadn't done it laps before that.
Yes, he had.
No, he hadn't.
Yeah, he had. Max had already run Lewis off.
Oh, what, before the red flag?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I get your point. Look.
Well, what about if in Brazil...
I've never said anything now. This is why I don't have an opinion.
In Brazil,
yeah.
Max ran Lewis off heavily and stayed in front. And then Lewis overtook him the next lap, right? Mm. What if the same happened and they collided? Max hit him and it took Lewis out of the race. Should Lewis have raced smarter?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no, because it's Lewis.
No. Anyway... Let's move on because you're never going away from it. No, but what's the point? You're not going to understand what I'm saying.
I'm just saying. I'm putting your logic into different scenarios that are similar.
I get that. And I completely understand where you're coming from with Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton, whatever. What I'm saying is, on this occasion, Lando Norris had been complaining many laps before that he was weaving up into that turn two many times. So... if you know that a driver is going to do that, and I understand what you're saying about you could say that on any other part, but if Lando Norris wanted to get this win...
Are any drivers genuinely sitting in that cockpit thinking like, oh, he's going to crash into me if I try to overtake him?
Well, you're putting your car in that position, which is... No, if he's coming over...
But I don't believe Lando was putting his car in that position. I think Max had no right to come across into him like that.
So Lando was on the outside...
Correct.
Yeah, Max was on the inside coming into it.
Yeah.
So where was Lando going to go? Because if Max is already heading into that corner and they're like that, they're going to turn into... Well,
the apex is on the right-hand side, so he...
But Max was ahead.
Yeah, but Max is not going to come all the way out to the left to take that corner. The apex is on the right. He's going to come in. So it doesn't matter if Max is ahead. You can be on the outside... because the driver shouldn't be turning left.
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, I don't give a crap because Lando went out. It doesn't mean anything to me. I don't really care.
Lando agenda.
No, not in the slightest.
He's a Lando hater.
I'm not a fan of Lando, but I'm not a hater.
Hater.
No.
He's got a burner account that sends him abuse on Twitter.
Yeah, probably. It's called, not being allowed to have an opinion. But anyway, we move.
You're allowed an opinion. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But... I believe you say this. Because you don't like Lando.
No,
100% not. I don't think you'd ever say this about Lewis or even Max or Charles.
No.
Or George, maybe George. Cause...
No, I disagree. I would say this about any of them. If you know that a driver is acting, erratic, and you've already been verbally saying that this driver is doing all of this stuff, and then nothing's happening, you're going to put your car in a position where that driver's going to potentially do the same.
But any overtake that he makes, he's going to be in the same position then, surely. If every time he's in a position where he can overtake and Max is driving erratically, it doesn't matter where he overtakes him on track. Yeah, but
that's where the stewards should come in quicker then.
So it's not Lando's.
But you're missing my point. I haven't said it's Lando's fault.
You said Lando should have raced smarter.
If the stewards aren't taking actions, okay,
yeah,
and they're not doing anything, then, okay, that's happening in that point of view. Then Max is going to continue doing what he's doing. So he's going to keep putting his car into those dangerous positions. So Lando is putting his car at risk.
So then Lando shouldn't try and overtake him. He should just wait for the stewards to intervene. Fuck
no. Look, anyway, let's move on because this is a pointless conversation.
DM us, let us know what you think.
I'm not putting this episode
curious,
out.
Curious to hear.
Sergio Perez.
Stinks. He should be sacked. No offence. I know he's got family. And I'm sure he's a quality guy. But I don't even think he's fit for the Sauber, if I'm completely honest. Nico Hülkenberg has comprehensively outscored him in the last few races. It was another Q1 exit, because he took himself into the gravel on his outlap. I don't understand. He must have, I've said this before, he's got some genuine, serious dirt on the big boys at Red Bull, because Red Bull are ruthless.
Mm-hmm.
Yet all of a sudden they're letting this bum drag them down. They're genuinely not going to win the Constructors this season.
So apparently in Checo's new contract, he has a performance clause, which included not being more than 100 points behind Max Verstappen after the Belgium Grand Prix and or 5 places behind in the World Championship. So currently, he is 137 points behind Max Verstappen and 5 places behind Max Verstappen. So I still get triggered when I keep seeing reports that actually if Sergio Perez gets replaced, they're going to replace him with Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah, it's like that.
Why? Why do we think this is a good choice?
You know that Eddie Abu video where he's like half shit, half shit?
Yeah.
It's just like that.
I don't understand why we're still going down this. You know, Daniel Ricciardo had a very good time in, where was he, where he had a good race? Canada, okay. What's he done since? He got points, okay, in Austria. He didn't get points this weekend, did he?
No, he didn't. He finished P13.
For me, there's only one person who deserves that to be given an opportunity in that seat, and that's Tsunoda.
Yeah, Tsunoda should be.
I think Tsunoda's shown that he has been consistent. He's taken that alpha. He's taken that RB to a level where it is picking up points nicely.
Why can we not promote Tsunoda? Get rid of Checo. Bring in Liam Lawson to the RB.
Mm.
That is like not only the fairest scenario, but actually the most sensible one. Like that is going to be the most beneficial thing to the team. Can you imagine promoting Danny Ric into that seat over Yuki Tsunoda when, I'm not being funny, Yuki is smashing him this season.
Yuki's done a phenomenal job.
He's got 9 more points. And I know that might sound pathetic to a lot of you, but when your car is only really capable of getting P9s, P10s.
When you're averaging that over the 12 races that have taken place, that is a good amount of points.
Because they are never going to win a race. No. They're never going to get a podium. If they get a top 5 even, it will be because something big has happened in the race.
Yeah.
So they're going to get P10s, P9s. So it would take Danny Ric an incredible amount of races to catch up with him.
Yeah. Do you know what you've done?
What?
You've now taken this from my best episode to now being one of my worst.
Well, because of what you said about Lando. I said I didn't even want to talk about Australia.
I didn't even say anything bad about Lando. I was just making my point. You've now like ruined it for me.
You said.
Anyway, let's continue, shall we?
He should be smarter. And I don't think he did anything wrong.
I'm not saying he did anything wrong. I'm just saying, if you know this. Anyway, let's move on because we're just going around in circles. And having a discussion with you is the most painful thing. Anyway.
Was it me making it painful?
Oh, God. This is a difficult, guys. And one thing you're very lucky with, you don't actually have enough conversation with Luke that often because he is never, ever wrong.
I'm not saying I'm right or wrong here. I just want you to apply your logic to another driver. I'm saying I don't think you say that. If Max hit Lewis in that exact circumstance, if it was Lewis driving that McLaren, You'd have been like, what the hell? Get Max banned. Black flag.
No, I actually would have said the same.
Not true. I
would have said the same.
That is the biggest lie I've heard, at least today.
No, I would have said the same.
If something like this happens throughout the season, I'm going to get you to publicly call out Lewis Hamilton for not driving smart enough. Matt Jackson from Seaford thinks Lewis Hamilton, 7-time world champion, most decorated driver in Formula One history, didn't drive smart enough because he tried to overtake someone.
And there's your point. He's a 7-time world champion, okay?
And here's my point of Lando agenda. You're only saying it because it's Lando.
No, there's different experiences.
Lando's a very experienced driver now in F1. Very.
So why has he only had one win?
Oh, so is that what determines experience?
Well, no, you deal with different scenarios. Surely we're saying that Lando should be a 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-time winner by now, shouldn't we?
Yeah, based on the car that he's got. But that's got nothing to do with his experience.
Of course it is.
Why?
If you're more experienced, you have more chance of winning races. There's a difference. If you're in those type of cars, you'd be winning races.
Well, so Hülkenberg's not very experienced then,
But is he in one of the best cars at the moment?
Yeah, granted, Lando's only had the best car for about 4 or 5 races.
Okay, and how many of those has he won?
Yeah, one.
How many should he have won? How many should he have won?
This is amazing because you're backing up my point of Lando agenda.
It's not Lando agenda. I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, of course, but this has nothing to do with his experience in the sport. That has nothing to do with his experience. His longevity in the sport is what is to do with his experience. And he's a very experienced driver.
And how long has he been
in
the sport?
Since 2019.
Yeah, he's been in a good amount of years, isn't he?
So he's an experienced driver.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said and you just disagreed with.
No,
because he's only won one race.
This is painful. Right. I don't even know where to go with this, to be honest now.
Silverstone?
Oh, yeah, let's talk about Silverstone.
Is there any news while we're at it? Any other news? Obviously, Checo's hopefully going to be out soon.
No other news.
We are getting some Mercedes upgrades.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about... Can have a little game here, if you like. Lighten the mood a bit.
What now? You're all depressed.
Oh, mate, I want to go home and eat McDonald's. So... Little quiz. Obviously, we've had a triple header. Who scored the most points?
In the triple header?
Yeah.
Max Verstappen, 100%.
Okay. How many points has he got? Remember, this is including the sprint race as well.
Oh, that's going to get confusing because I think you get 10 points for that. So, he came second in Silverstone, which is 18 points.
Yep.
The race before that was...
And the sprint race, you only get 8 points, if you remember. It's 8 down to 1, isn't it?
Oh, sorry. I thought it was top 10. Get it. Well, 18 plus... Was it Barcelona? No, it was Austria. 18 plus 20... Oh, no, he didn't win. Where did he finish? He finished 5th.
Yeah.
How many points do you get for 5th? what is it? 25, 18, 15, 12, 10. I'm going to say 10. So 10, 28. He won the sprint race, which puts him on 36. He won Barcelona, which puts him on 50.
Sixty-one. Yeah, so you got 61 points. The second driver, and I'll give you the points because it's painful watching you actually do it. 55 points.
55 points. Lewis Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton, P3 with 43 points.
This could actually be George Russell.
Nope.
Ooh, Lando.
Nope.
Piastri.
Nice. 43 points.
I'm guessing that's because obviously Lando
He picked up 25 points just in Austria.
Who?
Piastri.
Oh, what, from the sprint as well as... Yeah, and obviously he Lando was out of that race.
Yeah.
I thought George might have been a strong one. Obviously, I know he didn't. I think if George had finished this race, he probably would have been third.
He probably would have been third. But in P4, with 42 points...
Lando.
George.
George,
and with 40 points...
Lando.
Yeah. Which is mad, really, isn't it? I know we talk about Norris obviously having the better car. Obviously, he didn't finish in Austria. But he's fifth out of that, which is... And Piastri up there in top three. Who else is on this list? And I'm going to go fifth, sixth, seventh. P7. Who do you think?
I reckon Hulk.
Hulk.
Yeah.
Hulkenberg. Yeah.
I reckon P6, Carlos Sainz.
Yep. P8.
Oh, that's a genuine tough one. I don't believe it's Checo. I don't think it's Charles Leclerc.
It's Charles Leclerc.
Is it?
Charles Leclerc, Perez. Perez has only picked up 11 points.
That's a shocker.
And Stroll is P10 with 6 points.
Yeah, Stroll's been outperforming Alonso. We have got to give him credit where it's due. You know, it looks increasingly likely that they're getting Newey.
Yeah,
Did you see Jeremy Clarkson's interview?
Yep. He said that he's apparently looking for a place in Oxfordshire. If he goes to Aston Martin, then I think that's a complete and utter waste of...
It is.
You know, why would you want to go and...
If he goes to Mercedes, I am tearing up Lewis Hamilton's Ferrari contract. I'm going to find it and I'm going to rip it up.
Has it made you... Obviously,
yes. I thought it was a bad move anyway. I said publicly from day one, I don't think it's the right move. I get it. It's racing for Ferrari. I always have more faith in Mercedes than Ferrari because Ferrari do not know how to develop their car. They've just sacked their chief aerodynamicist.
Who's gone to Aston Martin.
Really? Wow, so they're not cooking.
But, hang on. I understand what you're saying. For me, I still think it's a good move. Yep. For many reasons. One, we get to see Lewis Hamilton in red.
That I get. That's the only thing that I get. It's racing for Ferrari. It's like playing for Real Madrid.
I still believe in Fred Vasseur, in what he's building there.
Yeah, that's great. It's all the other people around him.
Yeah, but there's obviously, with people going, if you can get the right people in to continue that, granted, recently, their strategies have been a bit questionable. However, leading up to Canada, they were doing okay. Yeah.
The development, the car's gone backwards. They brought upgrades and they got porpoising back. Yeah. They've had to get rid of
Carlos Sainz didn't do bad this weekend in that Ferrari.
Yeah, but it's essentially the Mercedes that we had at the start of the season.
Yeah.
Where they were sort of best of the rest.
Yeah.
But now the Mercedes is actually competing.
Yeah. But we also can't forget the fact that they've won in Australia. They've won in Monaco.
Did you switch on like Phil Mitchell mode or something?
Yeah, I know my voice. They've still won 2 races this year.
Yeah.
You know.
No.
I don't think it's panic mode at the moment.
Ferrari generally start strong. We've seen that.
Yeah.
Right. My biggest concern is that they sheer lack of ability to develop the car effectively. If they had developed the car effectively from 2022... then we would have had 2 very close championship battles.
Yeah.
We saw that.
But I think having that experience of Lewis Hamilton, you're currently relying on development from 2 drivers who don't have a championship between them. They have won a few races, granted. Having someone like Lewis Hamilton come in with his experience and his knowledge, I think it's going to be fundamental. Ferrari is kind of like, what do you say? It's like a diminishing returns. What do you say?
The law of diminishing returns.
Ferrari eventually are going to come up to the top again.
Yeah, but one thing I want to challenge you on that.
Again?
Yeah. You talk about Lewis's experience and him coming into Ferrari and then they'll be able to... Well, why has that not happened at Mercedes? It's taken us 2.5 years to get a car that is actually competitive.
Yeah. I'm not saying Lewis,
he'll be in the retirement home.
Not
by
really,
the time he's
because
got
maybe you've got
car.
2025 regs, 2026 regs, which are going to be completely different. So
what if they get it wrong?
Well, they may get it wrong.
They could end up the 8th quickest car.
Potentially. Mercedes got it wrong.
Mercedes might get it right.
They may get
it
right.
And then he's made an error.
Well, I think financially he'll be fine. He's still a 7-time world champion. I think he'll be fine if he doesn't get it right. He's driving for a Ferrari.
This move, it's impossible for it to go wrong. The only way it goes wrong is if a Mercedes driver wins a championship next season or the year after.
Yeah.
Because I
can't see that with George.
It's a heritage thing. Do you know, it's racing for Ferrari. Mm. I get it, racing in red. I'm happy.
Can you really see George winning a championship in that Mercedes?
No, but I'm just saying, if George had Max Verstappen's car in 2023, he would have won a championship. Not if he was against Lewis. Lewis would have won. Mm. But if George has potentially Kimi Antonelli as his number two,
yeah,
George would win a championship. I think a lot of drivers would have won the championship in the 2023 car. Max drove flawlessly.
Sergeant?
It's hard to say. It would depend who his teammate is.
Latifi.
Probably. I don't think they would have won it as dominantly as Max did.
No. Yeah, look, I don't know. For me, I still think it's a good move. I'm excited to see it happen. I think it's great for the sport. I think Lewis going to Ferrari, I don't think it's panic stations at the moment. I think they'll get to the summer break. Carlos Sainz, granted, still had a relatively okay race this weekend.
Yep.
Yeah,
and he was quicker than Max in the wet.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's been many issues, isn't there? Canada, there was multiple factors that Leclerc had a bad race. Yeah, I don't think it's panic stations at the moment. I think it's still a good move, and I'm excited to see it happen. And I don't think it's a mistake for Lewis leaving Mercedes. I really don't, because Mercedes are having a strong period now. Okay, that's great. Will it last for the remainder of the season? We see many times people come back after summer break, and then some cars have come back stronger, and you'd be like, okay, I didn't see that coming. You know, so we just have to see. And we don't know what Ferrari's got planned for next year with this car. Yeah. They may have something completely, you know. I think Fred Vasseur has done a brilliant job. He's working on getting the right people in. He's definitely made strides since he's been there in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm confident if Binotto was still there and they're still making the same mistakes, I'd be questioning.
Yeah.
I still think they're on the right path. And I think with Lewis going there, it's only going to make him stronger.
Fine.
Is that right for me to have an opinion? Is that right?
No, I just
disagree.
No. It's an opinion, you know. You might be absolutely spot on. And I could be absolutely wrong.
Look,
would you be this positive and confident about this team if Lewis wasn't going there? Is it sort of like hopium?
No, do you know what? There's only two drivers who I would actually be this positive about Ferrari with. And that is Max or Lewis going there. And I know that sounds probably quite strange. The reason why at this moment in time, I still believe Ferrari are a good side, and I think they'll be absolutely fine going forward. But you're relying on two drivers who
are very experienced.
Very experienced. Are they your natural week in, week out winners? Do you know what I mean? What's the word I'm looking for? Who are your natural winners? And I know that sounds quite strange, but they're not like someone like a Max Verstappen. They're not like a Lewis Hamilton.
No, I mean, we know there are levels to this sport, but I mean, Charles and Carlos are, that's an unbelievable driver pairing.
But it is, yeah, and I agree with you. I don't know. I still think
I hope you're right. Don't get me wrong. I want everything you say to come true.
But this is where it's different
I'm just skeptical of this team because they continually fail. And they have done since, 2012, they properly competed. Mm. 2018, they cheated.
But something is going to have to change. And with Lewis going in, I'm hoping that is the change that is needed. Because it hopefully will then entice further people to join it. It will give them more leverage to build going forward. Because the Tifosi, Ferrari, all of this stuff, they've gone long enough without winning. And actually, this team's got to go back to the top eventually. Mm. If that can't be with Lewis Hamilton, then I worry for the team moving forward that I don't know who that would be for the future. Because I don't see it with Charles Leclerc leading that team, if that makes sense.
But if he has the car behind him, we've seen that he's very capable. 2022.
We've seen him as very capable, but we've also seen that he's very mistake-driven.
He's got some errors inside him, but...
But that's the difference. That's the difference.
I'm not sure whether we're overestimating a driver's impact on development. That's all.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be the impact. It can be your personnel who you bring in, the people who... Lewis Hamilton's name will bring in different people who maybe may not have been there. And we don't even know. It could be Nui who could go to Ferrari.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're dreaming, but it could potentially be it could on be. The basis that he's not been confirmed anywhere else so far.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'm positive it's going to be a positive mood. And I think actually change is as good as a rest. I think, you know, Lewis, we've known him in Mercedes since, what, 2014? 13. For me, as a Lewis fan, I'm excited for this next chapter.
Yeah, that makes one of us, so that's good.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. It'll be something. It's something to look forward to. Yeah, let us know if you disagree with me on that one as well. Just let me know, because
no, but I don't think there's a point that you can disagree on in the sense of like, no one here is going to be right or wrong.
No,
because we don't know until we know. Everyone said going to Mercedes was a terrible, terrible move from Lewis Hamilton. And, well, the rest is history.
But you're basing Ferrari of what you're seeing at the moment in what you're going to see them in 2025.
I'm basing it off their recurring inability to develop the car in a forward direction.
Yeah.
That car always falls off. Every year. We've seen that the last 3 years, that the car has fallen off. 2021, they were not competitive at all.
Yeah.
2020, they were not competitive at all. 2019, a little bit. 2018, more so, but they had... I think that was when they had the... it was to do with the fuel intake or something. Mm. 2017... Bit more. 2016, where were they? 2015, where were they? 2014, where were they? You can go back and back and back, and realistically, I know 2012, I think it was, when Alonso had the really good season, could have won it.
Mm.
Didn't. Realistically, you're going back to 2007. Mm. Okay, Massa and Lewis in 2008, but it's kind of like, realistically, since the Michael days, they haven't found that consistency. And they might not have had the driver. You know, maybe Massa was never world championship material. That might be controversial to some. I personally think...
So who's, apart from Massa, who's given them the best opportunities to win a championship? Alonso. Schumacher, when he went there.
Yeah, Alonso.
Alonso, Vettel.
Vettel.
So these are drivers who have that history.
Yeah, but they...
I'm not saying Lewis... is single-handedly still going to go and win the title.
They've still been let down by the development that...
I agree with you.
...that the team make.
Yeah. Look, we just have to wait and see.
I hope, more than anything, they come out next year with a rocket ship that they've built out of nowhere. It's just... Yeah, I just don't believe in them as a team. last year, before this was all announced, and the year before, we mocked them every single week for their ridiculous strategies.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. And I stand by that.
And
because they were poor decisions.
Strategies with Leclerc over the past couple of weeks do not seem to have improved an incredible amount.
No. I would love Bono to go with him.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
But that would be cool.
Yeah. Should we touch on Silverstone? Because I realise for 50 minutes, you haven't agreed with me once. So let's talk about something a bit positive, shall we?
Yeah.
Got my voice going. Let's just quickly touch on... Let's skip practice. Not like, it was a very rainy practice. It was very heavily wet. Qualifying. As we know, Sergio Perez beached his car in Q1. I don't think anyone was shocked.
Nope. Kind of expect it nowadays.
Yeah. And it was interesting, isn't it? Because obviously they started on inters at the end of it, at the end of Q1 after the red flag. It started getting dry, so they were going out on slicks. The track ramped up very quick and the timings were going, they were very impressive. Obviously, the Williams both got through to Q2, Logan Sargeant as well. He had actually a relatively okay weekend.
He had a good weekend.
Yeah. Although I still, you know, James Fowles has basically come out and just crucified him and put him into an early, he's going to be leaving at some point. And the likelihood is he won't be seeing after summer break.
Yeah, which I think is deserved. I do want to take back what I said about him being worse than Mazepin. I retract that statement. I actually, you know, he's just not the standard you need to be in F1. That's all. Whereas Mazepin, I think, was very far off it.
Ah, we've still got another race before Spa, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got Hungary.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why I thought the next one was Spa.
No.
Anyway, yeah, that is quite harsh, to be fair, for Sargeant. That is there. So obviously, heading into Q2, Danny Ric went out, Tsunoda, Leclerc.
Yeah, that was a shock.
It was a shock. I don't think it was a shock for him. He expected it because over the radio, he was like, I'm out.
I think he expects nothing more from that team.
Heading into Q3, strong by George Russell and Hamilton, P1, P2.
Very strong by Russell. He was 10th and a half up?
Yeah, he had a very good...
Great lap.
Hülkenberg, very solid weekend in P6. Yep. Stroll again, P8, Alonso P10, out-qualifying him for another race. And Albon, P9. So, really strong weekend. Expected better from Norris, I thought. But again, this is what...
I think he made an error, didn't he?
He made an error in his final run. But it was unlucky because he's a very good driver. Love Lando.
The agenda.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about the race. Good start from George. Actually, good start from both Mercs, really. For a while, they were quite comfortable. They had that gap from... Obviously, Max got Lando. Did he in the first?
Yeah.
He did. I'm just trying to think.
Yeah.
George and Lewis had quite a comfortable gap. I say a comfortable 3-second gap or something, 2-3 second gap. They relatively looked in control.
Yeah.
And then off suddenly just started going off, didn't it? It was
obviously raining. And that McLaren looked superior in the rain.
It had a lot of grip.
It had so much more grip.
Piastri and Norris showed that.
Yeah.
Both Mercs went off.
Yeah.
Lando came over and was like, you know, he's got to give me the place. They both went off.
Well, he said it was a dangerous rejoin.
Dangerous rejoin, and then he did it 2 laps later.
And Lewis was like well out of the way of... George was closer, but was it dangerous? Come on.
Yeah. And then the rain started, and then we started seeing
the rain properly
started. But before that, we had a spell. Some cars came in for inters. Perez, Leclerc. Again, this goes back to the decision making.
Lewis was asked.
He was asked, and I kind of get it. You know, we're giving Perez a bit of a hard time saying he had an awful weekend. Yes, okay, he had an awful qualifying. But I think what Red Bull were doing this weekend were basically using him as a guinea pig to determine whether it worked? Was it the right move? Was it not?
Yeah, but I think that's also because you saw from his first stint when it wasn't raining.
He wasn't making much
He
ground.
Was not making any places.
Yeah.
Max Verstappen would have burnt through that field. Mm. He would have finished, I'm going to say, sixth or fifth.
Same with Leclerc. They brought him in for inters. Again, poor mistake.
Yeah.
And then after that, the rain really started coming down. And this is where it gets interesting because Mercedes double stacked.
Which made complete sense, by the way, because...
Well, hang on, saying that, Red Bull made a perfect strategy because they brought Max in a lap before.
Yep.
He gained
so much time.
Red Bull have the best strategies. I don't care what anyone says. Their strategies are just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Lap later, both Mercs came in. They double stacked. Lando came in a lap later.
No.
Oh, he came in on the same lap, didn't he? Same lap as the Mercs. But this is what I don't understand from McLaren is they had the opportunity to bring Piastri in. Okay, he would have lost 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. It was inevitable. Double stacking. Whoever the second car was
going to lose time. But they kept Piastri out. By that point, Lando Norris, heading round before Piastri pitted, had caught up with him and was actually 3 seconds behind him or something.
Yeah, it was a terrible decision.
It screwed Piastri's race. And actually, up until that point, he was solid.
To avoid losing 3 or 4 seconds, they actually cost them like 20 seconds.
Yeah, it was very, very poor decision making. And I don't quite understand it, really, because I could sit there and I'm going, well, just double stack.
Yeah, that's your best option. I mean, yeah, everyone knew they should have double stacked. But
George unfortunately retired. Disappointing for George. Yeah. And then it became like a 3-horse race. The inters were doing well. Lando was leading. And then they decided to pit. Max came in for hards. Lewis came in for softs. They kept Lando out for one more lap.
Yeah. Which then meant he got undercut anyway.
He got undercut. They also had a very poor stop.
Yeah. Well, he overshot his pit box.
Yeah. I say poor stop. It was like 4.7 seconds, yeah. Where in the grand scheme of things, it's a very poor stop. And this is where, again, another poor decision making. Listening to the radio, I was a bit confused who was actually the strategist because it felt like no one was really making a decision. It's kind of like going, Luke, do you want wheels on your car? No, actually, what would you want?
They shouldn't. They have so much more data. They should be giving him the information.
I felt there were more. They said to Lando, right, so we can put on hards, or we can put on mediums and match against Max, or we can put on softs and go against Lewis. Lando's first option is, well, I want to go against Lewis because that's my main competitor.
You're not going to go out there to defend against third. No. You're going to go out there to attack first.
But what's interesting is actually up until that point, both Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton had no fresh mediums. They used their mediums in the first stint. The mediums actually did very well. They're actually quite good pace.
Well, yeah, Oscar Piastri showed that.
Yeah.
Lando would have won by a landslide.
Yeah, I agree. Lewis only had either softs or hards. He decided to the 12 laps to go that it was better to go onto the softs.
Yeah.
Max thought, I'll go onto the mediums. Fair point. And they actually worked very well. Once they brought Lando in, they made a decision to put him on softs. And I think at that point, the commentators, myself, and everyone in the UK was kind of, or around the world, were going, you've literally saved fresh mediums. You can get so much more out of those.
The knowingly better tyre.
Yeah.
As well.
And you've gone and matched.
You knew Lewis's tyres were going to fall off.
Yeah. And I can imagine if you're Bono and Mercedes, you're laughing because you're going, okay, thank you very much.
I laughed when he put them on. I laughed because I was like, nice, that's the win.
Yeah.
Unless, like, the only person I was then worried about was Max.
Max. I think one or two more laps he would have got him.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But this is where it came.
Then one or two more laps, they probably would have put Lewis on Haas as well.
Yeah. And this is where it gets interesting. 12 laps to go. For the first time in a long time, I was on the edge of my seat.
I was on the edge of my seat for a lot of that race. Yeah. It was intense.
And I was having images of, you know, Max getting him on the last lap, and I was thinking, oh, please don't let this happen. Like, I really wanted that win for him, but yeah. Also, as a fan of Lewis, I was kind of, I really want this. And also the difference is who manages their tyres well. You've got Lewis Hamilton, who pushed very early in that stint, but then conserved his tyres, managed it very well, managed the gap to Max and Lando. They couldn't catch him.
Yeah.
Lando, obviously defending against Max and trying to chase Lewis, inevitably cooked his tyres very quickly during that stint. And Max was just cruising. He had the, you know, the harder tyre, the better tyre. He could actually push that.
Mode, didn't he?
Yeah. And he did a phenomenal job. Take nothing away from Max. You know, realistically, like I said earlier, that should have been probably a P5 finish.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been finishing there.
No.
So, no, great
props
weekend
to him, props to the team, because I think the strategy was very good and they managed that very well. Mm. And they even came over the radio. Max was the one who said, I want to go into Inters now. He's the one who made those calls. He's the one he made to go on to Slicks at that time because he knew what he wanted.
Yeah.
And that's why he's so good. And obviously, Lewis held on with the win. And it was phenomenal. And it was phenomenal to see what it meant to Lewis. But also us as fans, we have gone such a long time without seeing a Lewis Hamilton win.
We haven't been able to celebrate a win for a long, long time.
No. And you look at you look at Silverstone, you look at the fan base, okay? The difference between support for George, Lando, and the difference what Lewis gets.
Oh, yeah, of course. But, I mean, Lewis has been around for a long time now.
But he has.
He changed F1 for British people.
Yeah, but not necessarily Silverstone. You look when he goes to Brazil or he went to China or anywhere.
Oh,
he's like a...
He's a global superstar, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And
like, he is more than an F1 driver.
Yeah. And it was just great to see. It was really great to see. I was like delighted. You know, I think it's brilliant. I think we've had 6 different winners in the last 12 races. I still think Max will win the title,
yeah,
no doubt.
I think he's too far ahead.
Yeah,
already.
But the fact that we're getting different winners, this is what we've been asking for.
It's still going to be an exciting season. Mm. Okay, forget about the championship. That is going to be Max's.
Yeah.
There's a race for the constructors.
Yep.
And so long as we're getting races every single week, I don't care about the championship at this point.
That was the first time I was properly on the edge of my seat since 2021.
Yeah, I was like... I was not in a good way.
No. I was adamant Max was going to get him, though, with his pace he was getting.
I was pretty sure Max was going to win.
Mm. Up until 2 laps, when I knew that Lewis was keeping the gap to 3 seconds.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well...
It's impossible now.
And I was realising that actually he was only taking maybe 0.2 off per lap. I was like, okay, he's okay.
Yeah.
The only thing that was stopping me was actually... How screwed are those tyres? And if he spins or whatever, that's the only thing I was thinking.
Yeah, like
that
a
could
lock
go
up on the last lap.
But like you say, Lewis Hamilton has won that race 9 times now,
mm-hmm.
which is just amazing.
Pretty crazy.
But what I also like to see is how much it meant to everyone. It wasn't just a Lewis Hamilton win. It was
a win for F1, that.
A revitalisation of F1. Does that make sense?
Everyone loved it. You know, I think it was a win that the season needed.
100%.
F1 needed.
But I also think it was a win that proved that Lewis Hamilton still has it. A lot of people have doubted Lewis Hamilton and have said he's past it. He won't win a race again. He's, you know, these new young people coming through, taking over. And that was a real statement to go, do you know what? Like, I still can't keep working hard. I can still manage under pressure. I can actually deliver on race day.
Yeah.
And Silverstone is not an easy race to deliver at.
No.
It is a long track. It is a tough track. And the fact he can still do that is phenomenal.
And we all know that he got pole at Hungary last year. So let's see what the next race has in store.
I, I would love to, when I go to Spa, a Lewis win. I would love to see it live.
You're watching Max on the podium.
Yeah, okay. Let's just quickly touch on Lewis, because as I said, a lot of people have doubted him since 21. A lot of people said he is past it. A lot of people think that he, you know, could never get a win again. George is better. There's drivers who are coming through. Let me just put it into the perspective, okay? He is the first driver to win after their 300th start. Mm-hmm. He is the oldest winner of the 21st century at 39 years and 182 days. The longest gap between first and last win, 17 years and 1 month. 12 most consecutive podiums at a single circuit. 9 most wins at a single circuit. 15 most podiums at a single circuit. 199 extended most podiums record. I mean, that's just mad in itself.
I'm a bit confused as to what you're saying. What's the number first that you're saying? 9 most wins. What does that mean?
9 most wins. So, okay, most wins at a circuit is 9.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Let me restart this, okay? I do this again for you. So, Lewis Hamilton, first driver to win after their 300th start.
Yeah.
Oldest winner of the 21st century at 39 years and 182 days. Mm-hmm. The longest gap between first and last win at 17 years and 1 month. Mm-hmm. Most wins at a single circuit is 9, and that is Silverstone. Most consecutive podiums at a single circuit is 12. Mm-hmm. Most podiums at a single circuit, 15. Mm-hmm. Extended most podium record, 199. So he's been on the podium 199 wow. times.
So he's going to hit 200.
Yeah. Extended most win record of 104.
Yeah, which is crazy.
You know, yes, like you said earlier, Max Verstappen may demolish those in years to come. But what is really interesting, we've discussed before, you know, we've discussed, you know, Fernando Alonso, Sebastian Vettel, once they get past the 300th Grand Prix, they've never won. Lewis Hamilton has done that.
Yeah.
He's different gravy, you know, and the fact that he is almost 40 years old and he's still winning
in
F1. Did
Schumacher race over 300 races? Surely.
I don't think he got a win, though, because he was in...
Well, no, he didn't. I mean,
no,
actually, we know that.
He did, but he... Oh. I don't think he...
He didn't get a win.
No. How many races? Let me check, all right?
But if he did, then he didn't get a win.
No.
Because we know that no other driver has ever done that.
Let me have a look. 306 starts.
Oh, so we only had 6 races, in fairness.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, I mean, look, it's an impressive stat, nonetheless. And we've always said he is a record breaker. So, the weekend could not have gone any better. England won, Lewis Hamilton won.
Yeah.
And I won 50 quid.
And you did. So how does that mean for the constructors? So Red Bull with 373, Ferrari with 302. I saw a greatest tweet earlier where somebody asked a question where they went, they added up Carlos Sainz points and Charles Leclerc points. Mm-hmm. And they went, all right, they've mucked up. This doesn't add up to 302 points. And it was like this massive post of kind of, you know, how can they say when he's over 300 points where between these two, it's like 200 and something.
Ollie Bearman.
So this guy quickly retracted his...
deleted the tweet.
Yeah. McLaren are in third with 295 points. So between P2 and P3 is very close. But actually, we say that 300, they are 78 points behind Red Bull, which if Sergio Perez doesn't come into contention and you got Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris still picking up a lot of points, it could get quite tasty towards the end of the season.
Yeah, and especially, you know, if the McLarens get the wins,
yeah,
you know, if Max isn't getting 25 points, it's not going to be possible for them to win the Constructors.
Yeah. Mercedes are in P4 with 221. Then there's a massive gap down to P5 with Aston Martin. So it is a four-horse race. Actually, I'd say it's a three-horse race between McLaren, Ferrari and Red Bull.
Well, how far off are Merck?
So Mercedes are on 221, Red Bull on 373.
Yeah, it would be very unlikely. Yeah. But again,
never know.
If they pick up the wins.
Big shout out, though, to Haas, who are in P7 with 27 points, 4 points behind the RB in P6.
Yeah, big.
They've done very
big moves.
Very well. And I know we said about, obviously, getting rid of Gunter Steiner at the beginning of the season. Was it the right move?
Well, I think we had a disagreement there, didn't we, as well?
I said it was a good move. You said no.
I believe it was the other way around.
Nope. So let's look at the driver standard. So not much has actually changed. Piastri moves up into P5 with 124 points. Perez drops down to P6 with 118. Stroll comes into the top 10 with 23 points.
Good old Stroll.
With Hamilton's win, he now moves 1 point behind Russell, which is good. Charles Leclerc remains in third, 4 points ahead of Carlos Sainz. And Norris is on 171 points and Verstappen is on 255. So, still a lot to play for. But I mean,
the championship is very unlikely now. You know, unless Red Bull start having some major reliability issues, Max will win the championship. But the Constructors is well on.
Yeah.
That says, well, I guess P2, if the Ferraris come back into it.
Yeah.
P2 for the Drivers' Championship.
Yeah.
Could be good.
I'm excited. I mean, you know, I think we actually have a good season on our hand now. And, but overall, very positive weekend.
We'll talk about Hungary next week.
Yeah. If you and I don't have any more disagreements in the next week.
There's nothing wrong with disagreements. Not everyone's going to always agree with you in life, Matt.
That would just be nice if you agreed with me once in life, wouldn't it?
I agreed that it was a good weekend.
Right, guys, I hope you've enjoyed the podcast and hopefully you enjoyed seeing Lewis Hamilton on the top step. As we said, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Anything else from you? No? Had your haircut?
Have.
Nice.
Cheers.
Want to say anything about mine?
I noticed you're going greyer on the left-hand side.
No, I'm not. Am I?
Well, it's your right-hand side, my left.
See, nothing nice said, guys.
How's that? That's not a bad thing.
No, I'm embracing the grey. I've got a grey and ginger beard.
Philip Schofield's grey.
Okay, on that note, right, have a nice week and we shall see you later. Bye-bye.